Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord, now, through your word, speak to our hearts. You know where we are, and you know exactly what's going on in our lives. And so, Lord, we pray that you would encourage us and lift our eyes to see you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week we're talking about the reality that God is our healer, and indeed he is. We watched this past Sunday as Jesus interacted with a man who had needed healing for 38 years, and he healed him. It was unbelievable, and it was miraculous. And so much of Jesus's ministry was actually healing people with physical ailments. I mean, people's lives were changed. Their existence was transformed when they came face to face with Jesus, who is the Christ. But you know, physical healing is just one of the many ways in which our Lord heals us. He heals us in our minds, and he heals us in our emotions, and he heals us most of all in our spirit. Tonight I want to share with you Psalm 147, verse 3. Psalm 147, verse 3. As we think about the theme that God heals us, hear these words. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So even as you are waiting for God to move in some way in your life, I want you to know that if you are in Christ, there is healing happening even now in you. Waiting is hard. The man that we looked at on Sunday had to wait 38 years for his healing to come. And so many of us are in a pattern of waiting right now. Waiting for God's answer to a prayer that we've been praying. Waiting for God's answer of healing to come, whatever that healing may look like. And I want to encourage you, as you wait, God will still actively heal your broken heart and bind up your wounds. This past Sunday, I shared a list of 15 promises from Scripture that I like to preach to myself because I have to wait for things to happen too. I have to wait for God's timing and for God to answer prayers in His time because His timing is perfect, but it doesn't always align with what I think it ought to be. And so I want to give you this list of 15 promises from Scripture. If you're following along on the YouVersion app with our live event, you can see these in written form. You can also access them on our website by going to the Bible study based off Sunday's sermon, and they'll be within that Bible study. But I want to give you 15 promises based completely from Scripture. I'm not adding my opinion to any of these. But these are promises of God that you can cling to and that you can hold to right now. And maybe every single morning when you wake up, you can remember these truths. Every night when you lay down, you can remember these truths that if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, every single one of these truths that I'm going to share with you applies to you. And if you've yet to give your life to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to know something. His arms are open to receive you right now. You can come to Him and say, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I turn away from my life of sin, and I trust and follow you. And the Bible says that if you will do that, you will be forgiven of your sin, made clean, and set free from the things that used to bind you up, that you would be called God's child. So if you're a follower of Jesus, these 15 promises are true for you. Hear these promises from the Word of God. Number one, we know that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that God desires all people to come to knowledge of the truth and be saved. We know that the suffering we must face on this earth will one day be eclipsed by the glory to be revealed in us in heaven one day. We know that in Christ, this world is not our home, and that our suffering is not forever. See, God opens us up to an eternal perspective, recognizing that whatever's going on right now is not forever. This world is not our home. But if we are in Christ, then there is a better home awaiting. And if we are not yet in Christ, then we can come to Christ, because God desires all people to come to the knowledge of the truth and to be saved. The second promise, we know that our affliction is light and momentary in comparison with eternity with God. And we know that our light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that we will assuredly receive in Christ. So this moment that you're in is not forever. And not only is this moment light in comparison with eternity with God, is your affliction light in comparison with eternity with God? But what God is doing is that He is preparing you for a glory that will overwhelm the affliction you now face. Number three, we know that even in the face of suffering, God's grace is sufficient for us, for His power is perfected in our weakness. You remember the Apostle Paul wrote about this. He had been given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. He said to keep him from becoming conceited because of the surpassingly great revelations that he had received. And he said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. And this was the response that he got. And in my Bible, these letters are red, meaning they're the words of Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. That promise may not make sense to you, but think about what God does when we recognize our weakness. We rely on Him. And when we're relying on God, that's when we are truly strong. Number four. We know that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And we know that even Jesus and the Holy Spirit are interceding for us. We know that God knows what we need before we ask Him. And we know that we can boldly approach His throne of grace with our request. We know that we can cast our anxieties on Him because He cares for us. And we know that He is willing to receive our requests and guard our hearts and minds with His peace that passes all understanding. Isn't that unbelievable? We can go to Him with anything in prayer. We can go to Him with everything in prayer. There's not anything that's off limits. Take it to the Lord. He already knows what's going on in your life. He already knows what you need before you ask Him, but He wants you to come to Him so that you might say the words out loud to your Heavenly Father who loves you and who is willing to hear your prayers. He tells us to cast our anxieties on Him. Why? Because He really does care for us. And He is the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine. And so we come to Him in prayer. We come boldly, telling Him everything. Everything that's going on and everything that we need and everything that our hearts desire and everything that hurts. We tell everything to Him. We know that He is trustworthy. And He is able to do things that we cannot perceive because He is God Almighty. Number five, we know that God is with us always, even in the valley of the shadow of death, and that we can therefore be strong and courageous, for the Lord our God is with us everywhere we go. I'm always reminded of my kids. My kids are 12 and 7, and when they were younger, both of them dealt with a fear of the dark. I did when I was a little kid, too. Sometimes even now, I don't like to go into dark places by myself. And I could tell them to go into a dark room, and there was no way they were going. I could try to bribe them and tell them, oh, you'll get a treat if you go. Nothing. It's not happening. But there was one way that they would walk into any dark space anywhere in the world. And that was that if I or their mother was with them. If we were with them, they would walk anywhere they wanted. Why? Because they had confidence that we were there and we would take care of them even in the darkness so they didn't have to be afraid. Well, can I tell you that God has given us in Christ the assurance that He is with us always. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. The presence of God is the most precious gift that He gives us. He gives us Himself, and He is with us always. And He is with you in Christ right now, every moment. Even when you can't feel Him, you can be assured that He is there. Number 6, we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. The Apostle Paul wrote that to Timothy in his final letter to Timothy. Timothy was struggling with the reality of difficulty, and Paul was remembering Timothy's tears. Can I tell you that God remembers your tears as well? And Paul was seeking to encourage Timothy, to remind him that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but rather, no, God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control, a sound mind settled in Almighty God. So we can know that that's how God wants us to live. He wants us to live in faith. Number 7. We know that in Christ we are more than conquerors, and we will never be separated from the love of God. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus has won the victory, and if we are in Him, we have won the victory as well, for He has given it to us as He calls us His own. Number 8. We know that we are in the grip of our Savior and of our Heavenly Father, and we will not be let go. Just the other day, my wife and I were watching old home movies of when our kids were really little, and you kind of forget what it was like and how time has just passed so quickly. How does it go so quick? But there was one video where I was helping my little girl stand up. She was at that stage where she was starting to cruise, you know, where she's holding on and walking. But I was trying to help her stand up. And what's funny is she was holding my fingers and I was lifting her to her feet. But the thing about it was, it wasn't because she was holding so tight to my fingers that I was able to lift her to her feet. I had my other three fingers wrapped around her hands. And so, yes, she was holding me, but the reality was that I was holding her. And the same is true of our faith with God. Sometimes we feel like we're holding on to God, and sometimes we feel like our grip is starting to weaken. Sometimes we feel like we're just holding on by a thread. But the truth is this, though at times we feel like we're holding on to God, the reality is that God's holding on to us, and nothing can overwhelm His grip. Nothing can remove us from His grasp. He's got a hold of us, and He will not let us go. Jesus Himself told us that. That we are in the grip of God's grace, and we are in the grip of God Himself, and He will not let us go. You're in His grip in Christ right now. Number 9, we know that in Christ, God is for us and not against us. Now, I want you to really grab a hold of this. In Christ, God is for you. He's not against you. Now, God is not going to affirm sinful decisions that you make, and He's not going to affirm sinful decisions that I make. But the overwhelming attitude of God is that He is for us. He wants the best for us. He is not coming against us to seek to destroy us. We are His children in Christ, and He is for us. And so we can know that that is God's attitude toward us. He is for us, not against us. Number 10, we know that God will bring to completion the good work that He has begun in us. We know that God will bring to completion the good work that He has begun in us. God finishes what He starts. That's why we can know that the book of Revelation is absolutely true. Billy Graham famously said, "I've read the end of the Bible. It turns out all right in the end." And can I tell you that if you are in Christ, your life turns out all right in the end. For God is doing a great work in you, and He will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Know that God will finish the good work that He started in you. Number 11, We know that God is working all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. God is working all things together for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. And you know what all things means? It means all things. Does that mean that all things are good? Absolutely not. But it means that God can work all things, even horrible things, together for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. So God is actively working even the most horrible circumstances in our lives for good to us in Christ Jesus. And we trust Him. We trust Him because He sees the whole picture and we see just a tiny glimpse of a part. And He sees it all. And He is able to take even the most hurtful moments of our lives and somehow bring good out of them. And praise God that He can. Because I've endured some things and you've endured some things that we can't find the good anywhere in them. But God doesn't waste anything. Number 12. We know that God is our good Father who gives good things to those who ask Him. He will supply our every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In the Sermon on the Mount, it's kind of amazing. I always go back to this. Jesus is speaking in Matthew 7, and if you look up the reference, you'll see Matthew 7, 11. But Jesus is talking about earthly parents. And He's talking specifically to earthly fathers. And He said, look, if your child asks for bread, are you going to give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, are you going to give him a serpent? Well, the obvious answer to those questions is no. And He said, if you then, who are evil in comparison to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to those who ask Him? God is our good Father. And you know, you may not have had a good father here on earth, but can I tell you that the one who created you, the one who knit you together inside your mother's womb, is the one who sustains you and the one who loves you, and in Christ, the one who redeems you and the one who gives good gifts. They emanate from His very nature, and He loves you. Number 13. We know that every day ordained for us was written in God's book before one of them came to be. Can I tell you that God knows every detail of your life already? He already does. He knows the details surrounding your death. How about that? He really does. And one of the realities that we've had to face in this COVID crisis is the separation between loved ones, especially when they come to moments of intense illness. That is so hard. I've walked with several families through the journey of having to say goodbye through a screen. That was just awful. But I want you to know that in Jesus Christ, there is never a moment that we are alone. And there is never a moment that He is not with us. He is with us always, so we can face difficult moments. And at that moment when our life on this earth comes to an end, if we are in Christ, there is a joy that comes next that is absolutely inexpressible, a joy we can't wrap our minds around. It is a joy that can only be ushered in by Almighty God. Jesus said that on the day that we see Him, no one is able to take our joy from us. So be encouraged and know that every day ordained for you was written in God's book before as yet there was one of them. God is not surprised by anything, and God is seeing you through everything. Number 14, we know God knows us intimately and that God's eye is on us to protect and sustain us. Maybe you remember the song that His eye is on the sparrow and I know He watches me. It's been interesting during this crisis. It seems like there are birds everywhere. Now, there are always birds everywhere. Maybe I'm just too busy to notice them. But in this COVID slowdown, I've noticed birds all over the place. And I want to tell you something. It's amazing. Every bird I see reminds me of that promise. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He's watching me. And He's sustaining me. And He's guiding me, and He's leading me through. And if you're in Christ, the same is true for you. So every time you see a bird, take that as an opportunity to say, God, thank You for taking care of me. Thank You for watching me. Number 15, we know that Jesus has overcome the world. and we who trust and follow Christ will overcome the world in him. What is the victory that has overcome the world? Well, 1 John tells us it is our faith. Our faith, not in faith, but our faith in Jesus Christ, the one who said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So I wanted to remind you tonight that in Jesus Christ, victory awaits, because victory has already been won through an old rugged cross and an empty tomb. Jesus Christ reigns. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And if he goes to prepare a place for us, then he will come again to get us, that where he is, there we may be also. So let not your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in him. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So tonight, if your heart is broken, tonight, if you are experiencing woundedness, tonight, if you are in a season of waiting and praying and wondering, claim these promises of God in Jesus Christ. Preach them to yourself. Preach them to yourself in the morning. Preach them to yourself at night and anytime in between. Remember that God is actively working in your life in ways you cannot now perceive for his glory and for your good. Be encouraged. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your promises that are true, and we pray that you would sustain us with your promises. Bind up our broken hearts. Heal our wounds. I pray for those who are in a season of waiting right now that they would look to you and that these truths would sustain them when their feelings fail them. And Lord, that you would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and help us persevere through even the most difficult of moments, knowing that you will work all things together for good in our lives, that you will bring to completion the good work that you've begun in us, and that in Jesus Christ we have won the victory, for the victory has been secured through the cross and the resurrection. Help us remain steadfast, even as we trust in your faithfulness. And Lord, yet again tonight, we join our voices and our hearts and our minds together to pray the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight. And we hope you'll join us again this Friday for Friday night virtual vespers at 6:30 p.m. as we learn what it means to lean on God's everlasting arms. God bless you.